The first reading today, St. Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. That's probably something we don't tend to think about an awful lot. Most of us, of course, are going to think, if you're asked where you're a citizen, you would say, well, the United States, Minnesota. But our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our home. Now, we all know that. We've all heard it how many times? But how often do we really think about that? And is our mind really set in that way? I can't help, as I ponder that, to think about a certain deacon that we had when I was at St. Agnes, just a wonderful man. But he was from London. But he lived here for over 50 years. But twice a year, he would go back to London to make sure that he didn't lose his accent. He didn't want to sound like an American. He wanted to sound like he was British. And so he made sure that he kept it up. And he did. And that's something that we need to think about, because we live in this world. And obviously, the more that we live in this world, the more we're going to become like it. But St. Paul made that specific point. He talks about the fact that these people who are enemies of the cross, he said, they mind the things of earth. Well, on one hand, because we live on earth and we live in this society, we have to go to work, we have to pay the bills, we have to do the things we have to do. But that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that if our citizenship is in heaven, we have to act like citizens of heaven. Now, I know the old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And again, there is a point to that. We live in this world, we have to deal with that. But our citizenship is in heaven. If you're in Rome, yeah, there are certain customs or things that the Romans do, and okay, you're going to eat the food that the Romans eat, and you're going to do different things that the Romans do, but that doesn't mean to give in to everything. There are things that aren't good. If you were around 2,000 years ago when they came up with that, are you going to say, well, then that means I need to go to the Colosseum and I need to cheer on the people who are being thrown to the animals and I need to cheer on the gladiatorial things and people are going to fight to the death because I have to be like the Romans? No. There are parts of the society that are perfectly fine and you can take them on. And there are other things that need to be rejected. In the society in which we live, there's a lot that needs to be rejected. There certainly is a lot that can be accepted. And those good things, yes, because we live in this society, in this world, we have to deal with that. But we have to be clear that our citizenship is not here. Our focus needs to be elsewhere. Now, again, using that example of the deacon, you could say, well, look, he chose to come to America. He shouldn't speak like he was British anymore. He should speak like he's one of us. Well, obviously, in his own mind, in his own heart, his citizenship was still somewhere else. Yeah, his wife and his family are from here, and this is where he lived. But his heart was elsewhere. And that's the part that we have to look at. Is our heart focused on heaven? Is our heart focused on Christ? And if we again use that example of the deacon who twice a year would go for a couple of weeks at a time to make sure that he didn't lose his accent, ask yourself, do you have the accent of heaven? How often do you visit to make sure that you don't lose it? But in this case, it's not even about the accent. It's about our whole being. It's about our whole life being conformed more and more to Christ. First, ask yourself, how do we have citizenship in heaven? Because you're a member of Jesus Christ. You're baptized into him. You are a child of God. And that's why your citizenship is there, because you are incorporated into Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you are already seated there with him. That being the case, we need to be conformed more and more to heaven, to the life of heaven. And that means making frequent visits. Do we have a life of prayer? Not just saying prayers, we need to be doing that too, but do we have a really profound life of prayer? Are we reading the sacred scriptures? Are we spending that time in meditation? At least a half hour a day in meditation, focused on the virtues, focused on the life of Christ, focused on getting our lives turned to the Lord. If we do that, using that same analogy that I've used, you're going to start picking up the accent of heaven. You're going to start speaking more like someone from heaven, because you're going to be changing. You're going to change to become more like Christ. That's what our lives are to be about. It is to become Christ. To do as St. Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, he said, I still live my earthly life, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How many of us can actually say that? That takes years and years of prayer for that to happen. And so that means we need to start and we need to be working in that direction. Remember where we are going to spend eternity, that is the level, assuming that we will get to heaven. Can't take that as a guarantee, but we can say, okay, if we make it to heaven, where we will be in heaven depends on how much we love the Lord. And how much we love the Lord is going to be dependent on our prayer, on our relationship with him. You can look at your own life and maybe look back when you're a teenage kid and you had some crush on some movie star or whatever. Oh, and you're just totally in love with this person. No, you weren't. You didn't even know who the person was. You've never spoken a word to the person. Oh, you think that they're the most wonderful creature that ever walked the face of the earth, but you don't even know who they are. So how can we be in love with Jesus if we don't really know him? And how are you going to fall in love with the Lord unless you're spending time with him? Isn't that what we do in human relationships? You meet somebody and you fall in love and you spend time. You want to be with that person more and more and more. That's exactly what we want to do with Jesus. We say that we want to be in heaven, which means we're going to be with him. There aren't minutes and hours in heaven, but putting it in our earthly way, we're going to be with him 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, at every single moment for the rest of eternity. Then we better want to be with him now. Why would we want to be with him forever if we don't want to spend time with him now? It doesn't make any sense. So we want to spend that time preparing ourselves for the day when we can go from this world. But in doing that, we begin to turn our hearts to become more and more like the one that we are spending time with. The more time we spend with someone, the more we become like them. Again, you know that from your own life. Look at the people who have come and gone in your life, and you become friends with this person. And what happens? Pretty soon you start speaking, picking up some of the words that they speak that you've never used before. Some of the little euphemisms that they use that you've never used before. You start changing. So, I mean, it gets to the point where you fall in love with this person, you want to marry this person. It's a wonderful thing. And then you become more and more like that person. The two become one. And as you spend the years together, you become very much like that person. That's what we want with Jesus. We want to become more and more like him. We want to be conformed to him. And the only way that that can happen is spending the time with him. That's what happens in prayer. And so we need to take that time. And we need to make that a priority because we need to show ourselves, and he already knows where our heart is, we need to show ourselves what the priority really is. Because in our humanness, what happens is that we look at it and say, I need to go to prayer. Well, but I've got this YouTube that I want to watch. It's like, where's the priority? Yeah, we're going to give him lip service and say Jesus is the priority, but the reality is that my phone or my computer or my TV or whatever it is took priority over him. Is that really the priority? So it's these kinds of things that begin to happen when we choose to pray. We're able to see what really is important to us. We'd like to say that this is what's most important, but our actions sometimes betray us. And so what really is most important? Is Jesus and eternal life what is most important to you? Ask yourself from another perspective. If you were like this woman in the gospel today who thought to herself, if I can just touch the tassel of his cloak, I'll be healed. Can Jesus look at you? I mean, truly, right now, can Jesus look at you from the tabernacle and say, your faith has saved you? Can he say that? You have faith in Jesus, you wouldn't be up at this hour of the morning and be here in church if you didn't have faith in the Lord. But that's not the question. Do you have that kind of faith that Jesus would literally be able to look at you right now and say, your faith has saved you? That's what we need. Because just giving him lip service isn't going to work. He told us that. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. How do you know the will of God? Only through prayer. Yeah, there are things that you know. I mean, the duties of your state in life are the will of God. But how do you know what God wants in the big picture? Only through prayer. What we do know is God wants you to be a saint. God wants you to be holy. Once again, that's not going to happen without prayer. You're not going to become holy by living in this world just simply existing. You're only going to become holy by allowing the things of this world to form you into the things of heaven. What that means is recognizing that there are a lot of things in this world that are the cross. And then we can offer those things up and we can accept the difficulties and the struggles and the pains of life. And we can unite them with our Lord and once again become more and more conformed to him. But that's not going to happen just simply by being here. That's going to happen by being with him. So he will use the circumstances of our lives in order to form us. He will literally use the things of this world in order to form us as citizens of heaven. But do we want to be formed as citizens of heaven? Once again, ask yourself, do I fall into the category of what St. Paul talked about, an enemy of the cross? Now, by an enemy of the cross, I'm not saying that you're going to spit on the cross or you're going to desecrate the cross in some way. I mean, look at what happens when suffering comes your way. Look at what happens when God allows the cross to be laid upon your shoulders. What's the reaction? A bunch of four-letter words that you ought not to be using? Anger and frustration? My favorites, the most stupid of all, looking at Jesus and say, "What did I ever do to you? Really? Give me a break." But he's not doing these things as a punishment. He's doing them in order to form us. So that's why the saints tell us, and we read in Scripture over and over and over again, that when this happens, we should rejoice. So I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us do you really think rejoice when suffering comes our way? Probably not very many of us, are there? That's usually not what's first and foremost. So as Americans, we have learned to run from any form of suffering. Oh, I might have a headache coming on. Boom, get me to the medicine cabinet. I gotta get some aspirin. Oh, this might happen. I need this. Any kind of suffering, we try everything to get rid of it. We don't accept it. We aren't rejoicing in it, and therefore we're not allowing it to conform us to Christ. So think about that. Are we showing ourselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ? It's the only means of salvation. And it's the only means of perfect conformity to Christ. If that's what our lives are supposed to be, is conforming ourselves to the Lord, the cross is how that's going to happen. And if we reject it and show ourselves to be enemies of the cross, then how can we be conformed to Christ? And if we try to look at it the other way and say, "Oh, no, no, I want to focus on Jesus Christ risen and glorified. I don't want to focus on him crucified," which again is exactly the opposite of what Scripture tells us we're supposed to do. But even if you want to do that, then I recommend that you read the book of Revelation that tells us that the tree of life is in heaven. The tree of life is the cross. So if you want to be conformed to heaven, you're going to be conformed to the cross. If you're going to be conformed to Jesus Christ, he's going to lead you right up Calvary and allow you to be crucified with him. If you want to be a citizen of heaven, you have to live like the one who came from heaven and showed us what that means. These aren't fun things. These aren't easy things. These are holy things. So that brings us right back again. Do we want that? And we want to say that we want to go to heaven. But if we show ourselves to be enemies of Christ, enemies of the cross of Christ, do we really want to go to heaven? When the only way to heaven is through the cross? So how do we do that? Prayer. It all comes back to prayer. And the tragedy is that we have not taught our own people how to pray. So we need to pray. It's not an option. And as I said earlier, I'm not talking about saying some prayers. You need to do that. You need to have that deep interior prayer. It's the only way to conform yourself to Christ. It's the only way to be able to really embrace the suffering that comes. Yeah, we can learn just to offer it up. That's what our moms taught us to do. But to actually embrace it and ultimately to be able to rejoice in it, that only happens through suffering, through prayer. So we need to make that the priority. If Jesus is really the priority in your life, if he's the one you want to love, if he's the one you want to spend eternity with, then spend time with him. Make that the priority. Make him the priority. And that means make prayer the priority. If you can, get to the Adoration Chapel. Or if you can get to daily Mass, even better. Then you can spend time before Mass or after Mass or go to the Adoration Chapel if you have that time. If not, make a place in your house and have that as your prayer place. Whatever you need to do, make that the priority so that you can be conformed to Christ, so that you can fall in love with Jesus, so that you can truly live in this world as a citizen of heaven.